There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 9, which is the last of the interviews recorded at Playitas Resort in cooperation with Apollo. This time, the Husky International Series meet up with superfast triathlete Javier Gómez Noya. My name is Magnus Ormestad, and this is the Swedish outdoor podcast Husky. Find out more about this episode and previous episodes at huskypodcast.com. So how are you enjoying days at the Playitas?
Good, one more year here in Playitas. I think it's the fourth or fifth time that I come at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place for training. It's pretty quiet, so we can work well, and good weather conditions, obviously, and all the pool, you know, the roads, the running tracks are good. So yeah, it's for us from Spain, it's not very far. It's just a 2.5 hours flight, so it's kind of easy to get here.
And what's your relation to the Fuerteventura, to the winds?
Yeah, it's like a love and hate relationship. Usually love when you have tailwind and hate when you have it in front. But yeah, after some weeks training here, it gets like, you get tired of the wind a little bit. But I think it makes you strong. It makes you improve the position as well on the aero position. And you also learn more to when you ride in a group because you know, there's always strong wind and you need to know where to place yourself in a group and stuff. So, yeah, it's tough, but it's good.
Where is home to you?
I live in Pontevedra. It's a small town in the northwest of Spain.
Is that where you grew up?
I grew up like 100K from there in another small town. And I moved there like 12, 13 years ago. And I was studying there as well, and it was a good place for training. I had a kind of a training squad there, so I liked the place and I stayed.
Has sports always been present during your childhood?
Yeah, I was always a very active kid. I started playing football like most of the kids in Spain. Then I joined the swim club of my hometown, and yeah, I did pretty well in long distance races. And And by chance, when I was 15, I heard about triathlon, and there was going to be a triathlon not far from my town. And as some of my friends knew that I liked running, I liked cycling and many other sports, they told me to do it and just to try and see how it goes. And yeah, it was a fun experience. It was tough because it was Olympic distance and I was only 15 years old. But I really liked the sport from the beginning, and I saw that I had some potential to do well.
Did you, like, from the first race on, you could tell that you had some kind of talent for it?
Yeah, actually, I thought I had been swimming for years and I was okay, but like national level, not too bad. But the first triathlon I saw almost without training on the run and bike, it was kind of easy for me to run, and I did a really good time on the run comparing to the others. So I said, well, if I train, I can do even better. So I realized that sport suited me better than only swimming.
Was sport always something you dreamed of when you were a kid? What did you want to become when you grew up? Were you
football star? Yeah, at the beginning, a football player. Then go to the Olympics as a swimmer. I started to swim a bit more seriously. And eventually, a professional triathlete, yeah.
So that has been your goal ever since you were like 16, 17 or something?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was focused on triathlon. I was still doing like half of the year pretty much only swimming because I understood it was good for my triathlon as well. And then towards the summer, I was doing more running and cycling with not really a very professional plan, just doing whatever I feel like, at least at the beginning. And yeah, when I started to win races in my category and like when I was junior, well, I always dreamed about going to Olympics and going to world championships and to the best races in the world.
How did it work when you got discovered? Did you get approached by sponsors or teams, and did they headhunt you?
I just did it by myself pretty much. There was not really... I was lucky that there was a triathlete called Ivan Raña, who was a world champion in 2002, and he's racing Ironman now, and he lives only 50k away from home. So I heard all triathlon from him. He was still junior back then. And yeah, but it was not really a triathlon clubs or any support. Nowadays there are, which is good for the kids who wants to do triathlon there. In any town, there's a club or a professional that can help. But back in the day, not really. So it was the first year pretty much by myself. And then my swim coach decided to help me as well. And he learned as well about running and about cycling. And we built our own way together.
Has your social life become... should I say, has your triathlon life become your social life? Is the social part of it, is that a big reason for you to, why you continued and why you stayed on it?
Yeah, well, we definitely spent a lot of time all day, you know, training or some doing things in relation with triathlon. So you make most of your friends are triathletes or part of the world, so you're really involved in this world. Sometimes it's good to be to go out for a little bit, and it's good that I keep some friends from school that they have nothing to do with sport, although they follow it and they support me. But it's good to talk about something else and not about triathlon all the time. But that being said, I really enjoy sport, and I don't mind I'm always thinking about triathlon and think about the next race and what to do better. And if I have a bad training session, I'm gonna be moody for the rest of the day, you know, which is good because that means that it worries me.
If you look at races, what kind of elements and what kind of factors benefit you as a triathlete for a race?
Well, I like tough races, like a tough course. For example, I was checking the course in Dubai, and it's pretty flat, so it's probably not great for me. I feel more comfortable in tougher courses, hilly courses. And through the years, it's funny because at the beginning I was not very good in the heat, in hot conditions. I struggled a lot. I would rather have cold or even rain. And I did good results in these conditions, and I struggled in the heat. And now it seems that I'm getting better in the heat. And one of the races I won last year, the WTS in Chicago, was a very hot race, and so that made it slow, and I won. It was like a surprise because I remember like 7-8 years ago I would have problems in this kind of races. So yeah, maybe I'm spending more time in the heat training, so yeah, my body's changing too.
Competing in the shorter Olympic distance, do you think you get more addicted to kind of an action?
Yeah, it's a very races are very intense, and lots of things happen. And even though it's still a almost 2 hours race, it's not a sprint. But the first 2-3 minutes of the race are so important. You need to put yourself in a good position towards the first buoy, and so there's a lot of stress, a lot of contact, and yeah, it makes me more nervous when I have to do an Olympic distance than a 70.3, which I know is going to be tough. But if you're good, you're going to be good. If you are not fit, you're going to be bad. So there's not really, there's still some tactics involved, but not so many. And in an Olympic distance race, even if you are fit and very good, you can make so many mistakes, and in a transition or in a bad position in the water can cost you the race. So that makes it very stressful.
Does that make for a big difference in the mindset? Is it a more conflict between the competitors in shorter distance, do you think, because of that? Because of the tougher action?
Yeah, probably. There's more contact, and there's a big rivalry in Olympic distance. But the relationship with them is pretty good. Probably, but it's true that probably in Ironman and longer races, everyone is kind of really friends to each other, and because, you know, everyone suffer for hours together, kind of. and Olympic distance is more directly, you're racing this guy, you know, you have to beat him. And but still, the relationship is pretty good. Like, my biggest rivals, Brownlees, I have a good relationship with them. There's a big rivalry between us, so we both try to win races, but... yeah, that's something good in our sport that you don't see sometimes in other sports. I'm coming from swimming, or I know track and field pretty well, and sometimes those rivalries makes like kind of enemies out of the race as well, and that's not a good thing.
But you travel all over the world to the same competition, so I guess you kind of become friends
it's like in any relationship with people, you have people that you get along better than others. Yeah. And I have good friends in the circuit that are my rivals. Mario Mola from Spain, who was second in the world championship, so last year was my biggest rival, and he's a great friend. He's a really nice guy, but obviously when we race, we race each other like everyone else. But yeah, it's good to know and to meet people from everywhere in the world.
How are you on race day?
Depends on the race. I used to be quite nervous before a race years ago. I guess after so many races and experience, I'm more relaxed. And if it's a big, I have different mindsets depending on what kind of race it is. If it's a big race, I need to focus a lot. And the days before the race, I just prepare myself mentally to give my best. And usually in those races, I'm able to give a little bit more than in other races that are kind of more like training races or those that you don't prepare that much. So, try to visualize what's going to happen, the way I want the race to go. And yeah, where's my, I think about the course and where's my, could be my strongest points, or where should I attack or what, just to build a strategy in my mind.
Do you like that part of triathlon, like the strategy, building a plan and knowing what feet to follow during the swim?
I like that. That's why I like drafting races, because they are very intense, and it's not only just race hard, but you need to be smart. You need to take lots of decisions during the race, and sometimes when your heart rate is 108, it's not easy to take the right decision and to do the right thing. So that makes it very exciting, and I like that.
Are you good at handling unexpected events during races?
Well, yeah, I try to.
I guess it's a matter of maturity as well.
Yeah, it's maturity and experience, and know the race is always long and many things can happen. And I had in my career some of those races. I can remember Sydney 2011, the first race of the World Series, that started to rain, and the road was very slippery. It was in the city center of Sydney and hadn't rained for ages, so it was very, very dirty, kind of. And I crashed, other people crashed too, so that cost me. I lost the first group, and I was riding by myself for the last 2.5 laps, and eventually just caught the back of the group, the transition. And then on the run, I was just about to pull out because I crashed, it's not going to be my day. I kept going, and then I passed 50 people on the run, like. And I ended up winning the race. So it was like, well, just 20 minutes before, I thought about just giving up because I crashed.
A good lesson to never stop.
Yeah.
When did you, if you look at your career, when did you start to race against others and not yourself?
Well, I always kind of raced. That's the difference between a race and a training. You know, when I'm training, I just train for myself. I don't mind if a training mate beat me when I have to do my times or my thing. I just focus on myself. But when it comes to race, that's the special thing of racing, that you're racing people and you need to beat people. So sometimes it doesn't matter if the race goes lower or faster. What matters is to be in front of the other guy. So for me, a race is always race against someone. You know, I don't see like... That's why those people who do challenges, like, I'm going to swim from here to, like, 20K by myself. That's good, but for me, that's not racing or elite sport, because competition has to be involved.
What would you say your weaknesses are as a triathlete?
I shouldn't say them.
No, or do you have something that you focus on?
I need to get better on my start. Sometimes I have... I'm quite a good swimmer in the pool, and sometimes I have problems in open waters. I'm not great in open water, so we are doing more of that to try to get better. My start is not great, so I need to be a bit faster and have more tension probably before the start, and I have to improve a little bit my second transition. Well, there are always things, and the three of course, you're even if you are good and a good level when you race, you need to keep trying to get better every year. Because
it comes down to the second. It comes down to the tenth of a
yeah.
second.
Sometimes. Yeah, and if I was world champion last year, if I want to be world champion next year, it's not enough to keep the same level because everyone is getting better and better. So you need to update your level and get stronger as well.
Now a tough question. What does your core, like your reactor that drives you, what does it look like? The part of you that makes you, that allows you to keep push it, even though your body says, like, quit, I can't
yeah,
take it.
Yeah, well, it's usually your mind. When your mind works well, when you're happy, when you're in a nice environment, when you when you're feeling good, that makes you, it allows you to go harder and just race better. I think the mind is very powerful, more than what we think, and for those big races you need to be ready mentally, and that means be fresh in your mind.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Is it easier, and now it's big quotation marks, is it easier to push yourself in shorter periods of time, like in the Olympic distance, than in half Ironman or full Ironman?
Oh, it's a totally different effort. I mean, I think half Ironman, especially full Ironman, I think it's more about pacing yourself. You're still racing people, but it's such a long day that you have to look at your numbers, your watts, your heart rate, and just try to stay where you think you can keep up for 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever. Whereas in Olympic distance, is more about whatever the rivals do. If one of my biggest rivals attack, I have to go, have to be there. No matter the watts or the heart rate, I just have to try to keep up. So it's a different, and I don't know, it's totally different effort. Sometimes if you ask a runner what's harder, a 10K on the track or a marathon, I'm sure most of them would tell you 10K on the track. And for most of the people, that's like, well, the marathon must be harder because it's longer. But keeping that hard, high pace for like, whatever, 30 minutes or 25 minutes can be really painful. It's a totally different effort.
How would you say, are you good at handling failures?
I'm not great at that, but you learn from that, and it's important. What happens when you win lots of races and you're doing well is that you have many people telling you how good you are, how good you do things. But I learned that it's more interesting. Even when you win a race, you always make mistakes, you always do things wrong. So it's good to have someone, could be a coach or friend or someone who knows you, telling you what you have done wrong, you know, because
yeah.
This is the only way to improve. If you win a race and think, oh, I did everything perfect, probably the next one you're going to have problems. So I also got better on that, like accepting that I make mistakes, and I take it as like something positive in order to improve for the next one.
Early on in your career, you had to overcome, there was a process with a cardiac anomaly.
Yeah.
Did that process change you? Like, did you come out mentally stronger after overcoming an obstacle like that?
Yeah, definitely, no doubt. It was a tough time because I was just 16, 17 years old, and suddenly someone tells you you cannot do sport, and you're not only worried about doing sport or not, but about your health and your life. So after visiting many doctors and control the situation, and after they told me that I could do this sport following some checks, period checks, but they could do the sport without risk, we fought against the federation and against the Spanish kind of sports government in order to be able to race. It was a very tough time and missed lots of competitions as a junior. Probably could have won junior world championships, I don't know, but I had a level for it. And as I said, it was tough at the time, but it makes me stronger. Because when I went to the start line again, just the fact of being there, I was really happy. And I think appreciate more the fact of being racing. I've been doing what I wanted to do. And yeah, so still nowadays, I think that was actually something good that happened to me. Because without that, probably I wouldn't be that strong mentally, or my career would have been totally different.
Like now you know the value of what you're able to do.
Because
you've had a taste of what it would be like.
Yeah. That's right. And I have the value of just being a start line, and I appreciate all this success I had. Yeah.
What race has been the best emotional experience you had? If you have someone that stands out.
Yeah, there are many great moments. There's some bad moments too, but one of them was a very special race in the grand final in London with that sprint against Jonathan Brownlee for many reasons. After eight races around the world, it was the last one. It was in London. I was we were competing for the world title, and my rival was British, and we were racing in Hyde Park, London. And it all came to the last 30 seconds of the race after I don't know how many minutes and hours of racing throughout the year. And I was never a good sprinter, and still I'm not a good sprinter, but somehow I did well that day and managed to win in the last 20 meters of the race. So it was very special and very emotional. It was my third world title, but yeah, it was a race that I'm really proud of.
Do you have any dream races that you would like to do?
Yeah, there are a few. Obviously, Kona is one of them. The Ironman World Championships, I would like to do it one year. Don't know when, but yeah. And there are others I did already, like race like Escape from Alcatraz, but I would like to do it more often because one of my favorite races, but it's not in a great date if you are competing in the World Series, so it's hard for me to do it. Or I would like to do more Xterra. But it's always risky because you can crash on the bike, and if you are training for Olympic distances, it's not that easy. But yeah, there are a few of them that I would like to do more often.
Because you've won Xterra.
Yeah, I only did one in 2012, and yeah, it went very well.
Because I'm thinking that that would be something that you would miss, like the nature, because I think those races are maybe more connected to nature than the shorter
distance. Yeah, I like that, especially that one. The only one experience I had in Xterra in Maui is just amazing. The trails, where we swim, where the bike goes through the run, is just an amazing place. We are used to race WTS in the big cities, which is cool as well. It's different, but I like more to be surrounded by nature and just fight against elements.
As a professional triathlete, do you see it as a good thing that the challenge organization is kind of flexing their muscles to kind of start some kind of competition between the competitions? I mean, you have the Ironman and you have the challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's good for the sport, and will only make the races better, because challenge is coming now really strong with really interesting races for us as professionals. But also, having those races in the Middle East is... In countries that they don't have tradition in triathlon, that will make people there and young people there like look to a different sport, and maybe in some years we have triathletes from the Middle East, and that would be really positive and really good. And an Ironman obviously is really strong, and they have races like Kona that everyone wants to race there. But they will have to make an effort as well to just to keep up and then challenge again. So they're racing the bars, and that's good for the triathletes. And I've been racing both challenge races, Ironman races, and they are all really good, very well organized, and really amazing places. And yeah, the sport is growing, and that's something really good.
Are you famous in Spain? Do you get stopped on the street?
Yeah, sometimes. Depends where my region. Yeah, quite a lot. Even here, I just had to go to the airport today and took a couple of pictures there with people. And it's not something, it's not like a football player. I'm happy that it's not like that. But yeah, people start to know more about triathlon. It cost me lots of years of being like on the top and in the media. I got an award this year of Best Athlete of the Year in Spain, given by the King. So it was in all the media. And yeah, it's good that, not for me, but that people know more the sport and know what triathlon is, because 15 years ago, not many people knew that this sport actually exists.
That's what I'm thinking, that because in Sweden we talk about the Lisa Nordén effect on triathlon.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that there's kind of a similar effect with you.
Yeah, probably something like that. I raced in Stockholm a few times and I could see what's happening with Lisa there. She's a big character there, which is very good. And in Spain, it's happening a little bit the same. It started with Iván Raña, which was the first triathlete we had that started to win international races. And now with me, for this last few years, it's more in the news. We have we have lots of races in Spain now, and so triathlon is a more known sport.
Do you find the time to kind of to help spread the word? Do you see yourself as an ambassador for the sport in Spain?
Well, I try my best. Obviously, I'm more committed to my training and try to keep racing and doing the best I can. But I almost open. I went to many. I don't know how many schools I've been around Spain, especially in my region, to talk to the kids about triathlon. Even today is my rest day, and at 7 p.m. I have a meeting with the kids from the Gran Tarajal, the next village, that they are from the swim club. They come training here, and I'm gonna talk to them for half an hour. And I try to do things like that, or when you do interviews, when you do whatever events for your sponsors as well, just try to spread the word and let people know.
But it's a nice problem to have. To be an inspiration.
It's a nice problem to have. Definitely, sometimes you don't find much time for yourself. Especially when you have a resting, you want to just rest, but it's part of the job, you know.
Is it difficult? Do you have any difficulties relaxing on your days off?
Not really. I like just days off, just doing nothing. But most of the days off, I use them to do media things, or things with sponsors, and I don't really have days off that I can do whatever I want, which sometimes I would like to. But if I have time, I would like just watch a movie or go for dinner, go out for dinner, go for a walk, and just relax.
What are you most proud of?
I'm proud of all my titles and stuff, but I'm really proud of the fact that I was winning races in 2006, 2007, and then the level and the triathlon completely changed, and younger people came really strong, and I managed to keep up and step up as well and keep winning races in 2014. So I'm really proud of that journey, how I improved throughout the years to keep myself in the top.
And now everyone is asking you, when are you going to start competing in Ironman?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that. And I don't know, probably after Rio Olympics. At the moment, Rio is my main goal, but after that, probably will feel like having new challenges, and Ironman is the next step. Yeah.
From where do you feel you get the most important support?
From my family, as first support. Always had a big support from them in tough times when I couldn't race. We talked before, and when bad things happened, or when I was injured, when I had problems, always been there. They are always there. Try to come to the races. They support me 100%. Remember, my mom and my dad take me to the swim practice at 6 in the morning when I had to do it before school, and I really appreciate that. And some friends that have always been there as well. And then I'm lucky now that I have my sponsors, that they allow me to be professional and to compete at this level, which is I'm really grateful to them.
Do you have is it considered to be a luxury to be able to train outside the triathlon world, like you said, going mountain biking or skiing or surfing or something?
Yeah, I can't do that very often though, but especially I like mountain biking. I like it a lot, and I'm always worried, try to not, because when I go mountain biking, I like to take some risks and try to improve, you know. And sometimes that could be dangerous, but things like skiing, I'm not doing it because of the risk of injuries. Or surfing, I did a little bit when I was a kid, and I really enjoyed it. And hopefully when I retire, I will spend more time doing this kind of sport. Yeah.
But you're a good student, and you obey your coach's orders.
Yeah.
Don't go skiing.
Yeah. At the beginning, I had to obey, and now I really understand that it's a risk, because I know I had injuries as well in my career, and I know how hard it is to overcome those problems. So it's my responsibility, you know, especially when you already have sponsors and a lot of people behind you. You have someone is paying you to do triathlon well, so you need to just give your best, try to do your best.
Final question: at what stage are you now in your life?
I'm probably in a mature period of my career. I hope it's not the last years of my career. Well, I cannot finish in one period, like in Olympic distance, for example. And I'm excited about the future in long distance from 2016, probably. And I'm really enjoying this last 2-3 years what I'm doing, because I don't feel much pressure anymore, as I have one more than I ever thought. I'm really happy with that. And I'm still enjoying, like, trying to be better every day, train hard, and be able to train here or in Australia and many places. And the results are there, going well, so I'm enjoying it a lot.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're
best
welcome.
Of luck in Bahrain.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.